The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Going on, everybody. Happy Monday night, Tuesday morning, or whenever the hell you find it in your schedule to get to us. Welcome to another Bachelor recap. I gotta say, I did enjoy this one a little bit more differently and maybe better because I've never seen these two episodes and it was so fascinating to watch. Chrissy, hi, by the way. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome, thanks for having me. Welcome to this journey. It was a lot of fun. I don't know what the people at home listening thought, but I had never seen this shit. So it was wild to see the differences, not only just the show itself, Chris Harrison, the bad fashion, the people on the show, how Alex and Trista interacted, but more specifically the cast and kind of their naivety that they had relative to people who go on the show now. So it was a ton of fun. And we have the legendary Trista on, are the first bachelorette in Bachelor history to have a fun conversation about it. And she shares some interesting insight about her experience and, it was fun catching up with Trista and talking about it. Anything going on goss wise in the world that we need to address before we get to Trista? Is there anything going on
in the hot goss?
They seem to be they're going to start filming Claire's season, I guess, right?
Yeah, they're going to start filming Claire's season. There's a lot of talk about how there's concerns about them doing it safely, health wise. The two big things everyone kept talking about this week was hey, listen, if they're going to be sequestered, that's cool. But the people who are actually running the place that they're at, those people aren't sequestered. So how is that health wise? And then also family things.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. We're in crazy times honestly, at this point, I'm just kind of going about life. The world could end tomorrow. So fuck it. I'm just going to do what makes me happy.
Zoom with the families.
Basketball's about to start. Baseball's about to start. But at the same time, it seems like Corona's picking up again. So who knows, right? Who really knows? Everything could shut down in a week. We don't know.
Yeah,
I do know that the good people that I know from the franchise are very cautious and health concerned. And yes, there's no situation where they can guarantee that someone isn't going to get it, right? But it sounds like they're going to take every step measurable. Does that make any sense to ensure their safety? And listen, I don't know, but that will be an interesting element because it wouldn't shock me if at least one, if not more. Of the guys get Corona, and if one gets it, especially in that instance where everyone's making out, is it basically everyone gonna get it? It's a wild thing.
I didn't even think about the makeout thing.
But they're probably,
but also you're stuck together too, right? Aren't you all living together? Or do you get your own?
I bet they without question, the people, the cast members, I've said this last week, they're gonna go more insane because they're not traveling. And there's going to be tighter restrictions. Again, they're not going to be able to roam around the hotel or wherever they are more than they would. They can't risk anyone getting it. So are there other staff members? But they'll probably have very limited staff members. And maybe they'll negotiate with the hotel and pay maybe the show will hey, give us 10 people from your staff who are willing to fucking abandon their
quarantine
we'll pay them X number of dollars. I don't know. I mean, there's probably a handful of scenarios and I can see them doing that to ensure the safety of the cast and crew. It's entirely possible, but we don't know those details. And I'm sure they've had plenty of Zoom meetings about it to talk about it, but it will be I think if this season of Claire's actually gets shot, especially this year during this pandemic. It will go down in history for a lot of reasons. Obviously, Claire being Claire the Bachelorette and being 39. But as we look back, what was that season like? You know, is, especially if that's a blip on the radar in terms of how they had to film it. You know, there'll be so many new questions to ask. Like, you know, imagine like, you know, we'll have some of the guys on the show, you know, and questions are going to be so much more fascinating to talk about what it was it like in that scenario and what did the show do and what were some of the safety precautions that they took. Well, are all things I think we're all very fascinated about. And I hope they get through it and I hope everyone's safe, but it will be fascinating to find out. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cassie, you know, popped in, you know, she's sad and, you know, but you know, she's sad, like
the build up to these things is like so much. Yeah.
Chris made
for it to be like, Chris made I don't want to talk like, about it and I'm in pain.
Chris That's made it the, seem like,
the,
yeah,
that was the overall.
Chris made it seem like one of Trista's suitors from 18 years ago were going to call up and be like, what the fuck? Did you send me home? Yes. And it was, you know, yeah. Obviously a very sweet
and
moment.
It was her husband.
It was her, yeah, hey, babe.
It was a sweet moment.
Hey, babe, I'm in the back room. I mean, no, I mean, obviously it was sweeter than that. But yeah, listen.
I wonder if he knows what's coming on the other end of those teases, because like those teases, man.
It's hard. It's hard to tease anything.
And you know it's coming. You know it's not coming, basically.
And you know it's
but
not
you
a
hold
big
on
deal.
In there just to see. If actually it will come.
Like with the emails with Caitlin is like, oh, these are emails. As if like, I mean, listen, had we read them, that would have been like juicy. But I was like, yeah, there are emails. All right. Next.
I can't wait till you get to your season. It'll be like, we have big news. Nick roller skates. That's the big news.
I'm going to launch my roller skating tutorial. Thanks for filming my last roller skating video. Chrissy was my all the other Hanging With Me videos I actually did on my own in my house, but it was a little harder roller skating outside. So Chrissy was my camera woman, if you will. Nicely done. It was the best one.
I'm a jack of all trades.
The best one.
I do it all.
Well, I think we should just get to Trista before we ramble too much. Make sure to check us out tomorrow. Fantastic episode. One I absolutely enjoyed doing. Legendary Candace Kane, who is a pioneer and innovator in the trans community. And we have a fantastic conversation about a topic that, quite frankly, you know, I'm very ignorant about, have a lot of questions, don't understand a lot. If you're listening to this now, check out Disclosure on Netflix. It's a documentary about the trans community. I think it's a nice setup to the conversation I have with Candace. But if you don't have the time, you'll still enjoy it. She's fun. She's talented. She's lovable and has some great insight. So make sure to check us out tomorrow. And as always, send your questions at asknick@castmedia.com, cast with a K. And without further ado, let's get to Trista. Trista, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Me too. It's not the first time we met.
True.
We met at
Jaden Tanner's wedding,
and a group of us all went out to dinner somewhere. It was a ton of fun because it was like a handful of like fairly recent alumni at the time, and then a handful of like more of kind of the first gen, if you will,
dinosaurs. Like if you will.
Yeah. You know, you, your husband, Bob Guinea was there. And it was I had a ton of fun. So it's nice to talk to you again and go down memory lane. I gotta say, as far as these GOAT episodes, these greatest of all time, I actually thoroughly enjoyed watching this one. Because, you know, for me, like all these other seasons, I was pretty familiar with the people in it. And, you know, I didn't watch Sean's, but I'd seen enough clips and it was still pretty modern. But this was an absolute like throwback. And it was wild to see the first one. I had so many like thoughts as I was watching it. Like, how was it for you kind of going back? I mean, you were a part of it. So like for me, it was just kind of the culture shock of being like, holy shit, this was The Bachelor. This was the launching pad of 18 years of success.
No kidding, right? I mean, honestly, I just did a little article for Vanity Fair, or no, for Variety. And they wanted me to recap my favorite moments from Bachelor history. And one of them, the first one actually, was Chris Harrison starting it all off in the backyard of the Bachelor Mansion with that oversized suit. I mean, it was huge.
Yeah, the suit game was terrible. As someone who
was it double breasted?
Yeah,
it might have been double breasted.
Awful. As someone who prides himself, and I'm a bit of a suit snob, it was really gross. Watching.
I know. It is crazy to go back. I'm so excited that they're doing these because honestly, selfishly, to be able to show my kids
I thought you were going to say Instagram followers, you know, but no, yeah.
Oh, no, no. But I can, well,
no, I'm joking.
Hey,
I'm joking.
Hey, if you want to follow me, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So my kids, I will be able to show them a condensed version of our season, you know, how me and their dad fell in love and not have to deal with kind of the minutiae that they don't need to be concerned with. You know, it's part of my story and it ultimately is part of their story too. But it's a lot easier to digest when it's a recap.
It's a highlight. Yeah, you know? Yeah, that makes sense. It's like, yeah, mom, dad, just give me the cliff notes. I don't need to know the juicy details of how I was made.
Right.
But it seems like there was way less making out back then too.
Way less. Okay. So I'm going to, I will tell you why. Well, one of the reasons why. So, when I was on The Bachelor, everything was fine, you know, whatever. We didn't know what we were doing. It was totally innocent, at the time, not totally innocent, but it was more innocent, I should say. And, then I get to Bachelorette. And they announce me and all of these press outlets and journalists and anyone in the media, not anyone, there were nice people, but there were a handful of people that were saying, you're going to look like a slut and you're going to look like a hussy. And
in the press.
In the press. Like I did a press junket with Fleiss and Harrison and I can't remember who else, but I did a press junket and I remember a lady saying, how are you going to behave so that you don't come off looking like a hussy? And I was like,
Wow. I mean, that makes it sound like it was like the first season was 1950s because like
right?
That's something like a bitter, like, Facebook mom would write now. And now it's like, you know, the press tends to be, you know, more sex positive and more, you know, well, let's just say that they tend to be more sex positive nowadays. But now from the fact that was from the press. So, you know, imagine what like the people at home were thinking who were more conservative. Like that's probably someone who's more progressive asking those types of questions.
Right.
And that's wild to think.
Isn't that crazy?
18 years ago isn't not that long.
No, not that long at all.
Think about just how conservative we were about sex and then how double standard we were in terms of about, you know, women, you know, like, well, just, you know, how sexist the premise, like, listen, The Bachelor is a sexist, has a sexist premise. Right. Especially when it's just one guy, you know, and then, like you said, you have The Bachelorette and you said it on the recap with Chris, you know, they've come a long way, but they're still, I mean, we had talked, Caitlin was absolutely slut shamed her entire season.
Yeah.
That's it's wild to think. It's crazy. Well, I love creating. I do. I love creating.
You are creative.
And I hate it. I absolutely hate it when I have like amazing content and I'm just like, well, this is good for the gram and this is good for Instagram or other platforms. I like it to have it be easy. So listen, if you live to create but you don't live to worry over the last nitpicky details involved in putting final touches on content, do what you do best and let Issue handle the rest. Ooh, that rhymes. I love a good copy that rhymes, Chrissy. But the
it's so good.
Well, that's how you know how creative Issue is, because they're even coming up with rhymes. But really, Issue is an all-in-one platform to create and distribute beautiful digital publications, from brochures to magazines to sales collateral and more, or just like amazing, just like fun, funny content, you know. It's very functional. So if you're a creator, a marketer, a designer, educator, publisher, salespeople, anyone who wants to make eye-catching content, Issue is the website for you.
You're like a creative person. Don't you like ever write anything and when you're like done editing it, you're like, now what do I do with it? Like, you're creative like that. Issue is like the place you can do it. You can like take your stuff, put it online, and it goes distributed. You can distribute it once everywhere. Everything's optimized, and you can post it on your website and your social platforms, and they can even help you get animated Instagram stories.
Animated Instagram stories? Sold.
Yeah, it can animate your Instagram stories.
Sold. Simply upload your PDF files, and Issue transforms them using your vision and customizable templates to create the content you want. And Issue is used by millions of people to discover new content, so even you'll reach even more readers once you publish the issue. Best of all, it's free. So get started with Issue. Go to issue.info/VIALL to sign up for your free account. That is issue.info/VIALL to sign up and let them know you heard it from our show. Remember, that's .info, not .com. So go to issuu.info/VIALL to set up your free account today.
But look at it. It's like seriously ridiculous.
Look at Chrissy's teeth. Well, I mean, if you're watching this, you can see how shiny her teeth are. But if you're listening to this, take our word for it. Chrissy won't shut up about her teeth.
It's the Indiglo system by IntelliWhite.
And Chrissy's been using it for a week longer than I have. I've been really excited. My teeth have definitely gotten whiter. Which I'm impressed because of the coffee I drink. I thought I reached a point of no return.
But it turns out
I have not. And I give all the credit to the Indiglo system by IntelliWhite. And they have this purple light, which apparently is better than the blue light.
Because it's not rough on your enamel.
The purple light, apparently, technology, it's safer, it's faster, and it's better at breaking up the dental stains that are outdated by blue light systems. No more blue lights. If I were blue, I would die.
I have sensitive teeth, so it's zero sensitivity.
No, my teeth haven't gotten sensitive at all since using it. It's super easy. If you're listening right now and you're driving, look in the mirror and ask yourself, do I need this product? I'm guessing the chances is you do. So now our listeners can get $50 off the new Indiglo teeth whitening system, but you have to go to tryindiglo.com and use promo code VIALL. That's TRYINDIGLOW.com and use promo code VIALL. So how did you answer that question, by the way, when you were asked?
I mean, I don't remember, Nick. I have no memory. I literally don't remember anything about my life, what I did yesterday or 18 years ago.
You want to make
something juicy up for clickbait?
So I don't remember
what I said. I think if I had to answer that again, I would say that's not part of my MO. I'm going into this to find love. And if I need to kiss a few frogs to find my prince, then that's what I'm going to do. I don't intend to come off as a slut or a hussy, but this is my journey and I'm going to do it how I see fit.
Let me ask you this. When you got asked the question, were you, I'm assuming you were shocked.
Yes.
Off guard, but then did that make you self-conscious?
Oh, for sure. And that is why I bring up that question, because I went into The Bachelorette with that in the back of my mind thinking, holy cow, I can't kiss all these guys because I'm going to look like a hussy, you know? So
it's a total double standard, you know, hasn't been too long where it's like, oh, she's just making out with everybody. I mean, that's right. A criticism I hear of every lead to a certain extent. It's just like, it's not us. These people get nervous and bored. They don't know what they do to do. So they grab our faces and they stick their tongues down our throat. And at the risk of not look like an asshole, I just go along with it. You know?
Gotta kiss them back. Yeah.
You know, it's
no, I didn't have that. I didn't have the guys doing that. They were pretty respectful. And I think that they probably were told by the producers to
slow your roll. Yeah.
Like, you know, hold back a little bit, let her lead, let her
go, you know, 90,
take the lead.
10. Yeah.
So anyway, and you know what, honestly, because of what happened to me on The Bachelor and how he didn't pick me in the end, and I thought he was going to, because he told me right before that he was going to, of course he was going to tell me when I put him on the spot. He said he was going to pick me, and I went into The Bachelorette thinking I need to be super cautious about this process. I really need to have it be very cerebral, and I need to think this through. And so for me, it was, yes, physical intimacy is super important. Kissing, all the things, you know, it was high up on my list of priorities, but I felt like if I didn't have that chemistry with someone, then why kiss them? Why, like, not waste the effort? I was just a bit more conservative. And
yeah, no, that
honestly,
makes a lot of
I kind
of
wish that more people were, because I feel like, just like you're saying, I feel like a lot of people are kissing just because they don't have anything to talk about. You
know? I would agree that as someone who has been The Bachelor, I appreciate some of how it was. The nervousness, like, I'm very sex positive. If you make out with whoever you want, but in the context of the show, yes, you wish that, like, you know, when was the last time, even the horniest of guys don't walk into bars and make out with 30 girls. You're just like, at some point it just becomes kind of a hygiene problem.
Right.
You know? And so,
yeah.
It's not that fun for anyone. I mean, it sounds maybe fun, but it's truly not. And you kind of wish you would just, like, get to know some people, have it progress, and then, like, you know, a couple conversations in with a handful of people, then maybe you go there. But, like, it's really turned into, like, a mouthwash marathon.
I know. Some episodes, you're like, really? Like, you're going to kiss that many people, and whatever. Just like you said, if that is their process, then I fully respect it.
Well, it's less of the it's less of the leads process than just, like, pure awkwardness. Imagine if The Bachelor, like, kind of went, like, swerved his face when a girl came in for a kiss, because just like, listen, he's just like, yes. You're the. You know, because you don't know how it's going to be edited. You don't know. So maybe it's the 15th conversation he's had that night. He's exhausted, but they want to air it as, like, one of the first ones. And he's just like,
excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going back to the first season, of which you were a part of, I mean, one thing I kind of got a kick out of is that it was just kind of fascinating watching Chris talk as the host, kind of like you said, like, the best moments, because he was really kind of, he was telling America, like, these are the rules of this totally fucked up scenario. Right. And I remember him being like to what was his name, the bachelor, Alex. And he was like, Alex, hey, are you ready to date a bunch of women, and if they break up with you, we're gonna air it in front of the entire nation? And Chris
entire world.
And Chris says it like, you're insane, dude. Like, he doesn't say it now, or Chris has this way now of, like, saying the most insane shit and making it seem totally normal. Like, well, yeah, I guess of course I will do that, man. Like, the way you say it. I mean, how crazy I would be not to. But Chris, in his first season, he was like, this is fucking nuts. Are you ready to do this, man? And I'm thinking, if Chris were to say that shit to me before, like, if their producers were like, hey, you think you're ready to do this? I'd be like,
right.
No, I'm going to totally keep my job and not risk this.
True.
When you say it like that, man, like, I'm good. But
right?
It was so
I know it is.
It was so funny to listen him kind of, like, say the rules. But what did you think of Alex as The Bachelor? And let me ask this, and, like, no shame in Alex, but he just looks like you're kind of typical guy, you know?
Yep.
Little dorky, maybe in an endearing way. You know, the Harvard things, went to Harvard and Stanford. But you, right. I would have imagined them picking like some sort of like, you know, young, you know, JFK Jr. kind of guy from back in the day.
And yeah.
I mean, and this is, really isn't a question for you, more like the producers who might have, you know, or Mike Fleiss, but like it was their first show. They had the entire nation to cast. I'm just curious why they went that direction. It was kind of, and I'm curious like what your thoughts were of, did you have an expectation of like, oh, they're going to pick, you know, a prince, you know, I know they had a prince one season or like, and again, this is not a disrespect to him. It was just like, you would think it would be, in a cool way, he was this kind of like just a guy, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of fascinating.
So I remember being interviewed with the casting directors when they flew me to LA, and I think they showed me a picture of him, and I was like, oh, it's cute. It was just a picture of him, I think, holding a video camera. I mean, we used to have video cameras back in the day, not phones, you know? So he was holding a video camera, and he looked tall, dark, handsome, kind of, you know, I was attracted to that. I was more attracted to kind of on paper. Like you said, the Stanford, the Harvard, he had been well-traveled. He was a family guy. I can't even remember all the little bits and pieces, but I was honestly really attracted to what he could be on paper. And then I got there, and it wasn't like there was instant chemistry. There wasn't, for me, at least looking back, and maybe in the moment there was, but hindsight, of course, is 2020. And so looking back at it, I don't know that there was instant chemistry, but I stayed around because we had good conversations and I was interested enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just more wondering.
There was a moment where I think you said like, you're in like with him.
I did. Yeah. I told him I was in like, not in love. And that may have been what saved my whole future. Because if I had told him that I was in love, maybe he would have picked me. I don't know.
Well, I gotta say, watching it back, there was a genuine amount of innocence, like, because it was all new, right? People could say logical, normal shit, like, I've known you for 5 weeks, and so I like you, and now. You know, people go on having watched 10 seasons, 5 seasons, 3 seasons, 18 seasons, I don't know, of The Bachelor, Bachelorette. And, you know, where Chris is like telling America and the cast people like how this show works, everyone's kind of like, all right, well, what do we do next? And now it's just like everyone knows their own cues. No, but here's my favorite part of the Bachelor recap. When he was breaking up with the one girl who was like all pissed off, right? And she was, and they showed the exit, and he goes, she's just walking out to a car, and he's just like, we're gonna stop here at the bench. Which, if you watch it, it sounds super fucking weird for someone to say that in a breakup. But that what he's doing is, it's like, he's recognized, the producer said, like, hey, you're gonna break up with her, you're gonna like hit your mark, and you're gonna have a conversation with her by the bench. And so, like, he was just being very, like, all right, well, we're going to stop here. It was, like, she's so... Like, huh? She's like, what? Why you would just arbitrarily stop here at the bench?
Yeah.
It was so great to, like, watch that and know, like, how it works and the kind of... what I'm saying is, like, even people who watch it now who go on or maybe be contestants or eventually, like... you know, be the leads. Like, they know that conversations happen on park benches, or they know there's a hot tub, and they know all these things.
Right.
So they're just kind of go along with it. They're like, sure, man. Like, a 2-on-1 sounds normal to me. I love group dates. I'm super grateful to be here. Like, it's insane now. Like, what contestants are just like goal, and even America. America's like, why are you so ungrateful to go on this group with 8 other people?
Right. Oh, that's so funny. No, you are so right.
But don't you guys do like group dates of like 12?
What?
Don't you do dupe dates of like 12? They were like made a big deal about it because they were like, oh, he took 5 girls with him to Vegas. But right. Now you take like 14 girls.
You're right. You are so right. Oh my gosh. I haven't thought about that.
Now, if you do that, the girls would be like, hey, man, maximize your time, asshole. I've only had 4 minutes with you.
No, and you're right. The verbiage, like, is that how you say it? Verbiage that comes along with the show. Everyone knows what to say and what to do and how to act. And back then we had no freaking clue, like no clue. So yes, a lot has changed. It was a very interesting process being part of the first because we didn't have anything to go on. You know, I think that was another, I'm glad you brought up that point, Nick, is for us, the taping was only 6 weeks. And I was like, well, I might get engaged to this guy and I like him enough. And I'm willing to kind of take that leap because I figure why not? But saying yes to an engagement in real life compared to a produced show is you would have way more time. Normally, your parents, right? Didn't they get? I remember this about your parents. Didn't they meet and get married super quick?
Yeah, I mean, they got engaged, I think, in 9 months or something like that. And then,
yeah, so there are times when it happens and it lasts and you know that it was the right thing.
Yeah, so that's not
in real life,
yeah,
you know?
Especially now, yeah.
Right, but back then, I think I was just willing to go through the process and say, hey, whatever. If we get engaged, we get engaged, then we'll figure it out afterwards. But in real life, I do have to say, I'm sorry, I'm going all over the place. When you were on the show, and you know this, you don't have phones, you don't have work, you don't have family, you don't have friends, you don't have anything to take over your mind. And you can solely focus on the other person. So 6 weeks, even though that seems like a very short period of time in Bachelor Land, it's a little bit longer.
Yeah, it's a bubble. It's all intense. Yeah, it's intense.
We're in a bubble. Right, yeah. So, yeah, it was a bubble, but I was just in like, and I didn't feel like I needed to say that I was in love. And I feel like now they feel that pressure to say that they're falling in love or they're in love so that they can stick around or that they can show that they're invested. And back then I just didn't feel the need, you know?
Yeah. I know. So they didn't get in, you know, there was no engagement on Alex's season, and you were the 3rd season overall aired. So they had another bachelor and then you were the bachelorette. Is that correct?
Yeah. Like Aaron Berge was the 2nd. Yeah.
And then you were, so did Aaron Berge get engaged? You know,
I believe he did.
Okay. Cause I was wondering so let me ask you this, where did you have like by the time I was the bachelor, they didn't ask me if I wanted to get engaged when things got to the end. They brought out some rings and I was like, all right, yeah. Like that was the expectation. They didn't make me do it. They didn't force me to do it. It was just, hey man, today's the day you're getting engaged. I'm like, oh, I guess.
Yeah.
Great. You know, like, guess we'll figure it out later, but will you marry me? That couldn't have been the case then. It was only the 3rd season. You had probably a lot more innocence than people have the luxury of being now. Were there a lot of conversations with you and producers back then about like, hey man, like, are you ready to get engaged? I mean, obviously you're married, you have this loving family, you are a true success story in life in your relationship, let alone like the Bachelor franchise. But, you know, were you just like all in because you were so in love? Or was it like, hey man, let's get engaged to one of these guys and figure it out later?
No, I was invested. I was ready. I knew he was the one. And I know that sounds like cliche, but it's the truth.
I mean, again, you guys are an incredible success story in life. So you have the luxury. I think you have the benefit of no one doubting your sincerity with that question.
Well, now, I mean, I remember sitting on a couch with Simon Cowell. We were doing this photo shoot for some magazine. I can't remember. And he was like, oh, I give you 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but I'll prove to you that we are the real deal. You know, we love each other. And it might sound crazy, but it literally is the real thing. So, I didn't feel pressure. I mean, I remember having conversations with Lisa Levinson and Jason Carbone, who were exec producers back then. And, you know, them asking if I was ready, but it was more like a conversation I had with a friend. It wasn't a pressured situation from a producer. I didn't feel it, at least.
No, that's although nice to hear.
I feel like, was it part of your contract? Did they say anything in your contract? Do you remember?
No. To get engaged? No.
Yeah.
Was it in yours?
I don't know. I'd be interested to like look back and see, but I
doubt it. I don't think you can contractually obligate someone to, right, maybe, true. I don't know.
Well, they couldn't have because, you know, multiple people haven't gotten engaged.
Yeah, you don't need to. I mean, like I said, the pressure people put on themselves and the audience. I mean, it was your third season again, because like you watched the first season, America's learning, like, what is this? And now, you know, Bachelor Nation is judge and jury on their own, you know, in terms of like deciding what's wrong or deciding what's okay. You know, things like that. And, did you feel that as the first, like as it was airing? Obviously, social media didn't exist. Certainly not what it is right now, or didn't really exist at all. The internet existed, but like at the same time, for like great ratings now, you know, literally like a third of the country was watching your season. I think like your wedding had like 30 million viewers, something like that. Like nothing gets 30 million viewers. Like. You know,
The first Bachelor was 20 million.
Yeah, The Bachelor.
It was.
The Bachelor finale now would, like, you get 8 million and you're a rock star.
8 or 10. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely a different time where we couldn't go anywhere without being recognized. And I know you can't, like, people now still can't, but I think it's because a lot of it's because of social media. We did have message boards. And those were actually on the ABC website. So they had a link to message boards where people could go on. And it was kind of like the toddler version of social media, where people could go and put their comments on this message board. It was kind of like a Reddit, you know, like a thread.
Yeah.
And so people would start a thread and then just comment. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. So people could go on there and just, you know, go off on everything and anything. And they did. So there was a lot of hatred even back then, but I feel like even more now. It's really hard to navigate with social media. You just have a lot of people who like to sit behind their computer and be cowardice and comment on strangers who they've only seen on television.
How long did it take you before you were like, I got to stop reading this shit?
Oh my God, Nick, I did not stop. I kept telling myself, stop freaking doing it. It's ridiculous. These people don't know you, but I was so drawn to it. I just could not stop. It was like a train wreck. It was a total train wreck and I needed to keep watching. So I wanted to know. I'm honest, a people pleaser. I am total people pleaser, and so I wanted to know if I was pleasing the people.
Did it affect your decisions in life?
No.
Well, that's good.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know, because while things were airing. No, I don't think it affected decisions. It just, I'm a really sensitive person, and that kind of stuff really affects me. I try.
I couldn't imagine. Yeah, I couldn't imagine.
Let it, but yeah.
This is 18 years ago when a progressive reporter asks you, "What are you going to do to not look like a hoe by kissing a guy?" So I can only imagine what these message boards were of bored housewives with too much time on their hands. From 18 years ago. But also, shout out to Bored Housewives for listening to my podcast.
Hey, I was going to say, that's kind of me. That's me. Full circle.
Yeah, no, listen, we all get bored. Sometimes we involve ourselves with shit that we really don't care about. And all of a sudden you're like, why am I so invested in this meaningless topic?
Especially during quarantine.
Yeah.
Come on.
So yeah, I got a question for you. When he was sending home, I'm just going to call her Bench Girl because for me that's
Janet. Yeah.
Janet. Bench Girl. Bench Girl. Shannon. Shout out to Shannon. She was in her interview with Harrison. She was like, well, what people didn't see is we had some off camera time before. Was she referring to the fantasy suite or was she referring to other off camera time? And my question to you is, and I've heard rumors about this in the past, like, was there off camera time allowed more often back then than there is now?
Yes. Yes. At least on the first Bachelor. The first Bachelorette, I did have a little bit more off-camera time. Like, Ryan and I came to Vail for his hometown date, and we had some time, like, in the car. He handed me this note where he told me he was falling in love with me in a note. Yeah. And we had a little time there. We had a little time in St. Louis when we went to my hometown. And so I feel like I don't know how it is these days, obviously, because I'm not on.
Well, there's exceptions to every scenario. But for the most part, if it's not on camera, it's not happening. If it's not the
right
suite, there's
and I know, honestly, and that might have happened because on the first Bachelor, after the finale was over, I was good friends with Lisa and Mike. And I'm like, you guys, we had no closure and not understanding what the show was all about, because I didn't realize that when you're done, you're done. Like, you don't talk to the guy, you don't talk to the girl, like, you're just done.
Sure.
And I was like, I need closure. Like, this is strange. I was thinking I was going to get engaged and now I can't talk to this guy. Like, this is fucked up.
It sucks.
So they arranged for me to have a conversation with him on the phone. And I just said, you know, I think you made a mistake. And he went on to say, I think I made a mistake. Can I come over to your hotel room?
What?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do people know about this? You know,
I've talked about it before. Gotcha. In the past. Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But that conversation, Mike and Lisa were like, we are only going to allow you to talk to him if we can have a camera in the room. Not a camera guy. It was like they set up a camera. And they were like, we just want to tape it just in case.
Yeah, for sure.
Something happens.
Totally.
So I think they've learned through the process over the years that they need to have everything recorded.
Because if there's an amazing moment that happens and it's not recorded, they're like, ah, shit.
Right. No context. Yeah.
I don't want specifics, and certainly not even from your point of view, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask, because I'll be honest, when Bench Girl was talking, she kind of made it seem like they hooked up.
I doubt that.
Okay. And so
big time,
my general question overall, and some of this kind of off camera time, were there ever hookups that were never mentioned? Have you heard any rumors about kind of that generation, or was it all just like maybe off camera time, but just talking, but not like I've heard stuff like the Bachelors in the past, like, might have been intimate with a few girls throughout the filming of the season. That just was.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
But I mean, who knows? That could be just so off base by, like, you know, that's why I ask.
Yeah.
I would think someone in your position would have heard that if it were true.
I can attest that it has happened. Yes.
Okay.
All right. I had some time with Ryan.
Okay. Oh, great.
That was off camera, and it wasn't like, God, I remember we were on our the Seattle date, the fantasy suite date. And he had never watched the show before. Of course, there were only two that he could have watched, but he had never watched it. And so I hand him the card, and It's one of my favorite moments in Bachelor history. I hand him the card and he's like reading it. Oh, Chris Harrison says, if we want to forego our individual suites, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, check, please. And he was right. He was like off to the races. He's like, get me back to the hotel room right now. So we get back to the hotel room and Jason Carbone is there with, you know, the camera crew. And we made out on the couch.
Jason what? Is, who's Jason in this?
Jason was one of the producers. The
executive producer.
Yeah. Okay. So we made out on the couch for hours and hours, like just kissing, petting, you know, whatever.
Sounds like hours. Middle
school. Yeah. Oh, totally. It was totally middle school. So, oh God, don't say that. My kids are in middle school. So it's high school. Let's say it's high school.
and this is 18 years later.
Oh God, don't say that. So anyway, we're on the couch. We're kissing for hours. And finally we were like, dude, get out of here. We're not giving you any more footage. Like this is all you're getting. You're getting kissing. You're getting petting. That's all you're going to get. So we made them leave. And that was a fantasy suite moment. So of course they're going to give you some alone time. But yeah, we had time in St. Louis at my hotel room. So I know it's happened in my life. I can't say what's happened with anyone else.
But. Well, I mean, like that is kind of nuts to think about because obviously, you know, the things that happened with Caitlin and I, they made such a big deal about it, you know?
Right. True. Yeah. And maybe they wanted to stay away from it on my season because
oh my God, they could have never have done
no
that
way to, the whole to, double to standard you. Thing was just way too heavy at that time.
I mean, yeah. Again, fast forward 15 years later, Caitlin got slut shamed for it, and it was you know really, really nasty. That is wild, but it's crazy. I mean, it's you know what? So you did this 17, 16 years ago. I wasn't a fan of the show, but you two were so popular at the time that I absolutely remember you being the Bachelorette. It was such like part of American culture. I remember you being
how old were you?
Five. You know, no, God, that's I wish. I was 17.
It was 2003.
Oh, I was like 20, 21,
20,
22.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was too far behind us.
Yeah, I know. Fucking old. But
sorry, I totally interrupted you.
No, it's fine. But no, I remember. And like, you know, talk about a good run, you know, 15 minutes of fame, you know.
It's pretty crazy. Honestly, when I first saw the casting, on my couch in Miami, watching Extra, I never would have thought that I would be, you know, on television again, like 17 years later.
I got to assume recapping. You still, you know, get noticed or have kind of, like, is it still a plays a pretty big part of your lives to at least some degree where you're at some sort of party or a get together and people are. The what's it like questions that, you know, do those still go
on
for
sometimes.
You?
Yeah, sometimes. But honestly, we live in such a small town.
And you know,
Vail is a very small, like, ski town, ski resort. And so people are really over it here. but if we travel and we're at, you know, an event or even out to dinner. Yeah, we definitely still get recognized, especially if we're together. I feel like people recognize us as more so as a couple, as opposed to just our individual people, personalities, you know? We definitely still get recognized, but clearly if you look at Instagram followers, I am definitely old school.
what you working with these days, Trista?
Oh, I'm almost at 300,000. Whoa. I know that's just, you're so jealous.
No, that's pretty amazing considering you, Instagram didn't even exist, but you know what I'm saying?
It did not.
Yeah.
No, it did not. And people were over us by the time Instagram was up. So you know, yeah.
Are your kids over it?
They, you know what? Max is definitely, he could care less. He's almost 13 and he's just into Fortnite and hockey and biking with his friends and he could care less. If he was interested in girls, I bet that will change when he's interested in girls because the girls will be interested that his parents were on the show. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blakesley, on the other hand, our daughter, she's 11 and she thinks it's cool. She thinks, you know, we just got off of TikTok. She was on TikTok. Yes, she's 11. But I was letting her do it for the fun dances and whatever. And that's another conversation. But so she's now off of TikTok, but she's into like the TikTok famous people and the YouTube famous people. And it's just their culture now, that age, where they think it's cool to be famous. So I think she thinks it's cool, but Max could care less.
There's always been a ton of conversations, especially recently, about the success that the Bachelorette seemed to have over the Bachelors.
Right. Yeah.
And I was wondering, I'm assuming you've been asked this before, but as the first Bachelorette and someone, again, has an incredibly successful family and relationship from the show, do you have any opinions on why you think that is? Or do you think it's dumb luck? Or is there a specific reason why you think maybe the Bachelorette seemed to have been more successful?
I think it's a combination. I think that a lot of it is luck because, let's be honest, if Ryan hadn't been on my season, I don't know that I would have been able to have a successful relationship with any of the other guys. So I got really lucky that they casted him. And I think that a lot of women on the show, the Bachelorettes, have been lucky because the people that they've casted, they've gotten it right. And for whatever reason, maybe the people that they've casted for the guys hasn't necessarily been dialed in. Who knows? So I think part of it is luck, honestly. And I personally believe in like, God has a plan for me. I think it was kind of like our destiny. I know that's probably sounds cheesy, but that's just
I'll let you have it. Yeah.
Thank you. So anyway, so that, and then, but I do think that women, they, for some reason, maybe it's like they're more serious about it. And maybe it's like a sex thing. Like the guys get in there and are like, wah, wah, you know, like, wow, there's all these women here for me, you know, and I'm going to take advantage. So I don't know exactly why, but I feel like maybe women are just maybe a little more serious about finding that one. And the guys might, you know, be listening to another part of their body.
I like your first answer better. I liked your first
answer better. Okay, fine. Take it.
Yeah. I mean, I can only speak from my personal experience, but I think that was, you know, the first answer for me. Like, and again, great women on my season, but I don't feel like as far as compatibility for me,
yeah.
It was going to work out. And so, yeah, I like. I'll take your first answer.
Okay, first answer. You can take that one. You can even edit out maybe, the other one.
No. But you know, maybe some of the other. Well, again, you could argue, even afterwards, you know, guys thinking with their, you know, usually uh-huh. their body parts of like guys getting all this attention, and all women across America are like, oh my God, and guys like I'm famous. Women are, all these women know me.
Right.
And I can't do anything about it, you know?
Yeah, right. They're sending me underwear. I mean, like, I had women sending...
What kind
sending...
of evil trick is this?
Right.
Like, back in the day, they was like the whole point of being famous is like to meet women, you know? Like, it's like selling your soul to the devil.
So you're proving my point.
I'm not speaking to me. I'm just saying, I can imagine how a lot. No, but like I mean, in all seriousness, nowadays, I think there is such pressure from Bachelor Nation. And I've said this before. Like when they asked me to be the Bachelor, I was sick to my stomach because it was like, all right, well, I got to do this. And I really wanted it to work. And I was really afraid that they would cast women that I wouldn't connect with. You know, I really like, you know, connect. You know, and again, like that there's in love in general, there's luck involved. You know, it has not, they could, you know, they could have thought they were like casting, you know, the, you know, every person was meant for me because like they're casting for a show and not for me and still got it wrong. You know, it's all luck, but you know, maybe for other guys, maybe it was like, this sucks. You know?
No, I think there's definitely that element for sure.
Well, Trista, it's been a ton of fun catching up with you, and sharing some insight, and continued success to you and Ryan and the family, and give them my best when you see them. And it's a lot of fun, and I hope I wish the show continued success, and it's always fun to. It's gotta be cool being the first bachelorette.
It's a little crazy. I mean, I will say like, I feel very old and I know I joke about it a lot. Like I'm very self-depreciating when it comes to talking about how I'm a dinosaur or I was called a grandmother by one of the girls at one point in time. And I'm like, I'm not a grandma yet. Stop.
Wait. It's a recent cast member called you a grandma?
No, a previous bachelorette. I won't name names.
A bachelorette.
Yeah.
Recent bachelorette?
No, it was not. It wasn't Hannah. So I listened to the jokes. I can't remember. I don't know if it was Demi. I feel like Demi at some point was like saying who was talking? Do you remember there was someone on one of the seasons that was talking about how someone was super old and their eggs must be
dead? When Demi and it was Trish or something early on, and Demi was like,
I hear that kind of stuff and I'm like, God, I am ancient. Like I'm truly ancient. So it's cool to be the first. And people are super kind and super respectful. And I mean, the Bachelorette reunion last year was just so sweet. I was so thankful to be a part of it because I think that nowadays they want to have people on the show who are more Instagram famous because that just feeds into The Bachelor and helps them with their viewership. And you know, so having me be part of it is very humbling still. You know, I obviously we have a success story and we've been married the longest and we were the first. Those are all really great things. And it's really, really cool to be able to say that. But it's just really nice. People are really nice about it. I just wish that I could bottle some of that youth up and steal it away because I would love to feel like a part more so of the current Bachelor Nation, you know, but I kind of feel like I've been called the fairy godmother. You know, I just feel like I'm everyone's mom. I'm looking at it through a different lens these days when I watch because everyone's so much younger than me. I mean, thank goodness for Claire. I'm so excited for Claire's season because she's almost my age. She's way closer to my age than Hannah was. What was Hannah? Like 24
or something? Yeah.
24, 25, something like that. And Claire's almost 40. So I feel like I'll be able to relate to her, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And it sounds like they're going to give it a go and try to film this. And
are they? Oh, good. I haven't heard anything lately about if they're taping
we'll
yet.
See. We'll see, but
oh, I hope so, because she's ready. She's chomping at the bit.
Yeah,
we have a text chain with all the bachelorettes, and we did a couple Zooms during quarantine, and she's ready, and she deserves it. So I'm excited.
That's awesome.
Anyway, Thank you so much for having me.
I really appreciate it. And it's great to catch up and thanks for taking the time. Thank you guys for listening as always. Check us out tomorrow. You're absolutely going to love this episode. Candace Kane, an absolute legend in her own right, has a great conversation with me about the transgender community. And, I certainly learn a lot. It's a topic I've been very ignorant about in general. And she's funny, delightful, interesting, and I really enjoyed it. So make sure you tune in tomorrow. And as always, send me your questions at asknickacastme.com, cast with a K. And until next time, we'll see you tomorrow.